telling us.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going live to the Iranian capital, Tehran, where the Iranian foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, is holding a conference known as 40 years of Iranian, or the Islamic Republic's foreign policy with Iranian ambassadors. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everybody. It's been 2 hours. That you're listening to the dignitaries of Iran's foreign policy that are all still active in foreign policy and are influential. So I'm not going to take your time very much. I personally learned a lot from what I heard from my mentors. So I would like to, based on what was said, I have to say that being the last speaker in an event has both pros and cons. The good thing is you can say whatever I wanted to say, that they said whatever I wanted to say, and the loss is that nothing is left, and then that is to the benefit of you. So I'm going to raise this issue from this perspective, that the Islamic Republic has two foundations for its foreign policy. Beside the dignity and expediency and power, another one is indigenous approach. Our indigenous approach is stemming from our historical experience, from Iran's historical experience. The Iranian nation, as they said, in the past 200 years, they have been experiencing an effort by foreigners to seize control on this country. And they saw that our policy, they were saying that our policy was determined in foreign embassies. They saw that our destiny and our future was decided in other countries. I'm not saying that the former government was following in all areas. It's not fair to say that, but in some areas, they were trying to keep a balance. But what was happening was that wherever there was an important issue for superpowers, they were aligned. Wherever you saw a significant issue, they were getting on board. There were some areas that were independent. This is a reality. In the past, those policies in foreign embassies, the policies were determined there. So the element of self-confidence and self-reliance was the main element that was manifesting in the Islamic Revolution. That was the people's will. Our revolution was not the one to be a vanguard, to be a forefront, to be reliant on others. So this front would say where you would be going toward. That was the people. Of course, with the guidance of late Imam Khomeini, people could take to the streets that are still coming to the streets. This is the people, despite the shortcomings, despite all the pressure that is on the people, both because of managerial issues and also foreign sanctions, despite all these grievances that they have. When it is the matter of their interest, national issues, national security, when we are talking about them, they would brave extreme weather and holidays. They are still on the streets and demonstrating. They create such a scene which is unprecedented. I was not in Iran. and I was following the demonstrations from Beirut, I didn't see but something that I have to bow in. As late Imam Khomeini said, that these are the people that we have to serve. These are the people. This great nation has been able, in the past 40 years, despite the pressure, despite all the warfares, you know, there was a war imposed on us that everybody was supporting the invader. It is unprecedented in the UN Security Council to wait for a war for 1 week and then approve a resolution that not only calls on both sides to go back to the recognized international borders. Saddam Hussein attacked both Iran and Kuwait. So just compare the respected and the relevant resolutions. It was unprecedented. When Saddam was fighting against us from America's AVAX, from France, from the UK, from Russia, from the former Soviet Union, and German chemical weapons, they were just bombarding Iranians. But this nation was resistant. So Bolton, what is he thinking about when he is saying that they are going to celebrate in Iran in 2019? We are celebrating. This great nation of ours is the base of our power and might. People were the base of the power of the revolution and also the national power. So when the people are there, we have the indigenous approach. It means that our security depends on ourselves. None of your governments that you are our friends, you can't say if there wasn't our support, you would speak in like a specific language. Nobody can say that. And this is the greatest honor for the Iranian nation. Our security stems from inside, emanates from inside. It's not only independent from foreigners, but our prosperity and advance comes from inside. When there is a day and that they want to stop cooperating with us, our people do not go away. We are not interested to see such a day. Our prosperity comes from inside. Our scientific advance comes from inside. This is because people are the pillars of the might of this government and establishment, and that's why for us, observing the rights of these people is not an ethical issue, it's a necessity. We are not reliant on anything else but this. Respecting their rights is a need for our national security. Without these people, we're nothing. And with these people, we're everything. This is the first rule in the Islamic Republic, that we were able to have our independence using reliance on these people and maintaining, to have our prosperity from these people, to have our development, our security, our peace. Just look around here. There's no such pressure against other countries than Iran. They officially said that we want to take the war and conflict onto the Iranian soil with complete rudeness. They said they went and had meetings with our opposition. They attended the meetings with groups that were designated terrorist groups of their own countries. They were so much bellicose to Iran that they attended meetings with groups that were designated as terrorist groups by themselves, and they said, we are going to celebrate your freedom in the future. They both supported and also did everything that they could against us, and they got to nowhere. Such a mentality in the past 40 years, to believe that they can pressure our people, it has been detrimental to themselves more than anything else. What was it? What was the reason behind arming Saddam Hussein totally? What was the reason behind creation of Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and Daesh? It was only an effort to limit Iran. When are they going to stop such an erroneous policy? When are they going to understand that this policy would lead to nowhere? How many times are they going to predict and then see the wrong result? Mr. Brzezinski announced that the Islamic Republic, after the Iraqi attack, would not be there after 1 week. Saddam Hussein has kicked the bucket for many years, and we are still standing here with dignity, and Mr. Brzezinski is not here even. So why Western countries do not want to accept that they have had wrong predictions? There should be a stop to this one day. So our first access for those people who are interested in looking up Iran's foreign policy is that whatever we have is coming from the people. Our view of advance and prosperity is just inside. Whatever pressure they exert on us, we will rely on the people more than before, and our steadfastness of the people also is increasing. You saw it yesterday. Report it to your capitals that these people, how much adherent are they to their revolution? How many of you reported that Iran has a four-day holiday? Most of you wrote that there is economic pressure, people are dissatisfied. So you saw how people demonstrate in the streets. So write it down. Write it down that you can't separate these people from their governments. There is a counter effect coming from pressure. Just write down that we are following our policy based on indigenous approach. That is the main element. Just believe in this point. We both as officials, and you as our friends, and your governments as our friend governments, to believe that pressure may be effective on some Western countries. There should be something happening, but in Iran, it has an opposite effect. Iran does not respond to pressure. Iran responds to respect, responds to nobility. Iran responds to equal position. Why? Because this revolution, what brought for us, the main thing was indigenous development. Our doctrine is indigenous. We have something new to say. But what we do not imitate anybody else. We have not hired it from anybody else to pay for it. Whatever we are saying, it's our own. Our mentality is our own, and we are standing firm on such a mentality. The second inclination is outward inclination. We have not wanted to be isolated. We didn't want to stand against the world. The motto of neither West nor East doesn't mean that we don't want relations with East or West. It means not going under control of the West and the East. We are neither after domination nor after being dominated. We basically believe that the era of domination is over. My friends, we are inheriting a culture and a history whose universal empire is even more than people who are claiming to have emperors. So our universal emperor is more than the lifetime of many countries. So we are not egotistical of power. We are after cooperation and interaction. We are after relations based on mutual respect. When Mr. Velayati was in the foreign ministry and when I was still a student and a low-level official, there was a letter from Mr. Velayati. I was honored to have made the draft. We sent it to the UN chief in 1985. And today, when we are saying that we want to have a forum of regional negotiations in Persian Gulf, we are still following the same idea today, the same idea that was in Resolution 598. The fact that in this region we do not condone any domination. I have to say that we are not following and after domination, and we do not condone anybody else to dominate over us. Our history is attesting to this. When Iraq attacked Kuwait, we, before the GCC members, we condemned the attack on Kuwait. When Turkey was attacked by coup plotters, supported by foreigners, we were beside the Turkish government all night because we do not believe in a military rule on a sovereign nation. When Qatar was blockaded by Saudi Arabia, despite all the concerns that were coming from Qatari policies and the divisions that we had, immediately we opened our airspace on Qatar. Was Qatar a Shia nation? Turkey a Shia nation? Kuwait a Shia nation? Why do they have a smear campaign for no reason? Where is the Shia axis? Iran has a coherent policy, and that's the fact that we are after interaction and constructive relations in the region is one of the main foundations of our relations. We are in need of good relations in the region, and I have to add that our power comes from inside. But I have to say that beside this good domestic power, we are after foreign relations. It could be vis-a-vis Persian Gulf neighbors in the East or in the West. We want good relations with everybody. We are happy to say that we have unprecedented good relations with our neighbors, our relation with Russia, with Turkey, with Pakistan, our relations with Iraq, our relations with some Persian Gulf countries. It is unique. We want such a relation with Saudi Arabia too. We want such a relation with the UAE too. We accept one item. We don't have reasonable relations. We don't have any reservations about having good relations with other world countries, but it doesn't accept somebody to question one of our foundations, which is our reliance on our own people. So the indigenous power of the Islamic Republic of Iran is a reality to be accepted after 40 years of pressure, after 40 years of sanctions, after 40 years of holding conferences. They had the last conference in Egypt. I tweeted the photo there. So which of those people that were attending the conference are still here? But we are here because we have our power from the people. Our legitimacy is based on people's will. That's true. People have grievances with us, but that's a domestic issue. And we are responsible as the government in the Islamic Republic to strengthen these people who are the foundation of the power of the Islamic Republic, to create the best for them, to prevent any pressure against them, and using good relations to pave the way for their development more than any time before. These are all necessities in the foreign ministry. The fact that Iranians are demonstrating in the streets, we as officials and governments of the people, it doesn't decrease our responsibilities. We are obliged as people who, we officials, we regard people as our guardians. We have to do something that our guardians live in a better way, and we are ready to do this using cooperation with constructive relations across the world to follow it up. Our friends, dignitaries that spoke, they all made it clear about the foundations of such an approach. Iran is welcoming everybody. There's no threat against any other country from the Iranians, but we defend ourselves. We don't want to usurp our neighbors from this region. Why? Because it is impossible to wipe off a country from the same region. The U.S. is asking us what we are doing in the region. The question is what you are doing in the region. It's our own region. Where should we go? We cannot be removed from this region. Our influence, many of the influences, many of the reasons behind our influence is the West's mistakes. If the West had not supported Saddam Hussein, if the West had not been following regime change in regional countries, we wouldn't have such an influence. If you made a mistake and we had the right choice, why are you criticizing us? The U.S. has to rectify its approach itself. The U.S. does not need to spend $7 billion. Once I was talking to Kerry and he was saying that you are spending money in Syria. Are you talking? And I told him, are you talking about money? You and your allies are spending a lot of money. And the point is, you have chosen the wrong path. I'm not addressing you. I'm addressing Americans. You have chosen wrong partners. You have chosen wrong allies. If you believe that the people were the basis of power, then you would have gone for people as your allies. That was the time that Saddam's pressure would go away and the Iraqi people would stay. The pressure on Lebanon would go away. In the past 2 weeks, I had a trip to Iraq and Lebanon. I see it just very far-fetched to see a foreign minister to be respected so much on these two nations. We do not feel any, and we do not have any expectations from Iraq and Lebanon. We are just proud of their resistance. We are proud of their resistance in Palestine, and we are honored to say that we are under pressure because of our support for Palestine. Because those people who are aligning themselves with the Zionist regime, they have to know that they do not have any place in region. And those people who are wishing to have rule in the region with an alliance with Mr. Netanyahu, they have a house less robust than spider webs. They are just building houses in the way of the wind. I myself also forgot Quranic verses, Mr. Salih. Yeah, so foreign minister is reciting some Quranic verses. And that's it for me, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Live from the Iranian capital, Tehran, that was Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif addressing foreign ambassadors in Tehran. The foreign minister stated for his part, Iranian foreign policy is determined inside the country, and that the great Iranian nation has overcome many problems over the past 40 years. He stated that the great nation of Iran is the base of the country's power. Speaking of yesterday's rallies that took place on the 40th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Foreign Minister Zarif said that the turnout shows the extent of the nation's backing of the government. He stated that we believe the era of domination in the world has come to an end. Speaking on Iran, he said the Islamic Republic's legitimacy is based on the people's will. In his closing comments, he stated that we are honored to be supporting the Palestinian cause. That's it with the latest live from the Iranian capital.